The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Again, we return all the glory back to God for giving you and I the grace and the opportunity to be here once again. Hallelujah. It's a good place for you to appreciate the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of us know that today is Palm Sunday? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank God for giving us this privilege to witness this day. Hallelujah. Join me as I appreciate our Father in the Lord, Senior Pastor of this great commission. For this privilege, sir, we pray that the Lord will bless you and increase His grace and anointing upon your life the more in Jesus' name. Also, join me as I appreciate Mama. The Lord bless you, Ma'am, and the Lord increase you more and more. If you are clapping for greatness, to celebrate greatness, you can do better than that. The Lord will bless you, Ma'am, for your constant support. Thank you so much for all you do in the house of God. I pray that the Lord will bless you, Ma'am, in Jesus' name. I want you to turn to your neighbor, say, Happy Palm Sunday, and you are welcome to April Anointing Service. Hallelujah. Continuing in our series on exceeding grace, we'll be looking at the topic, Destiny Upliftment via Exceeding Grace. Destiny Upliftment via Exceeding Grace. And I welcome you to church today. And I know that God Almighty will bless you mightily in the name of Jesus. Some people don't believe that. I say, God Almighty will bless you mightily in the name of Jesus. I say to all our online viewers, God Almighty will bless you mightily in the name of Jesus. Every good thing in our life is a gift from God. Every good thing. Whatsoever good thing that you have in your life is a gift from God. Don't ever make a mistake for you to think that it is by your strength or by your power that you have been able to achieve it. Nothing will a man has or have that is not given by God. Hallelujah. And one of the greatest of this gift, among several gifts that God has given to us and that God will continue to give to us and He will still give to us, is the gift of exceeding grace. The exceeding grace. I pray for someone this morning. That gift is released unto you in the name of Jesus. You will enjoy exceeding grace in every areas of life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It is exceeding grace that comes upon a man, and people will say the man is lucky. There is nothing like luck. It is engracement. When a man is engraced, people see him and they say, the man is lucky. When a woman is engraced, they say, this lady is fortunate. See the guy this lady married. She's just fortunate. The guy is complete in every area. It's not being fortunate. It's not that she's beautiful or she knows what to do. It's just grace. Hallelujah. Grace is coming upon someone this morning in the name of Jesus. Grace is what makes a man that is not qualified to become overqualified. Not because he carries any qualification, but because grace has qualified him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This morning I want us to know that grace is so important. God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So what is exceeding grace? What is exceeding grace? What is exceeding grace? Number one, it is divine enabling and empowerment. Divine enabling and divine empowerment. Grace, exceeding grace, is divine enabling and divine empowerment. Divine enabling and divine empowerment. When you are empowered beyond the natural, When you are in grace, you do things that people will say, this is supernatural. This is beyond the capacity of man. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number two, what is exceeding grace? Number two, what is exceeding grace? It is the finger of God in the life of a man. It is the finger, the working of the hand of God in the life of a man, in the life of a woman. Hallelujah. You know, when God's hand is upon you, when God's finger is working in your life, you do this and people start wondering how you are able to do it. People don't understand because it's beyond human comprehension. That kind of grace is coming upon someone in the name of Jesus. It is that grace that singled out someone. When Joseph was in prison, he wasn't the only prisoner. He wasn't the only one with the butler and the baker. He wasn't the only one in the prison. But the hand of God was upon him. Even before the encounter with the butler, the Bible said the prison was at the head of the prison, made him the head of the prisoners. Because he carries an unusual grace. He was singled out. Grace will find you out. I said, grace will find you out. In your family, grace will make you to exceed all. In the name of Jesus. Grace will distinguish you. I said, grace will distinguish you in the name of Jesus. What are the benefits of grace? What are the benefits of grace? Number one benefit of grace is help from above. Help from above. You see, grace bats help from above. Grace brings help from above. If you desire help from above, when we are talking help from above, we are not talking of help from above, maybe as a rock. There's a say that by Oga at the top. We are not talking about the help from the Oga at the top. Because the help from the Oga at the top can only take you as far as the top that Oga can reach. There is a limit that top can get to. But there is someone that is above every top. And that is the King of Kings. So when grace comes from the one that is above all the tops, you go above all the tops. Hallelujah. You know, there's something they call topping. In cakes and in confectionaries and all those things, toppings. When you put it, it beautifies the thing. And it makes the real thing that is inside to become more attractive. That is what grace does. Grace makes the gifts and the blessings of God in your life to become more attractive. And it brings about the glory of God. And that glory brings extraordinary upliftment. Somebody is being uplifted in the name of Jesus. You know, nobody prices a cake based on the content. You price it based on the beauty. You may not even know the content. Sometimes the thing is not as beautiful as it looks. I mean, it's not as tasty as it looks. Hallelujah. The package make it more attractive. And you go for it. Then when you say, this is not even as exceptional as I think. But when grace comes, both the package and the content becomes exceptional. God is taking you above. In the name of Jesus. Because you are receiving help from above. God told Moses that the reason why I will help you is not because of anything, but because of grace. Hallelujah. In Exodus chapter 33, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do these things, 33:17, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast done what? Hast found grace in my sight. I will do this thing that you have asked for, not because you have asked for it, but because you have found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. you get to a point when God knows you by name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I pray for grace for the sound people this morning in Jesus' name. Grace for the sound people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's jam our hands together for these wonderful people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Grace in the sight of God is what brings the help of God. It is not because, you see, one thing that will make you to know that it is grace in the sight of God that brings the help from above. There are people that fast more than you do. There are people that praise more than you do. There are people that can praise God from morning till evening. Yet, they don't command the same grace that you command. There are people that encounter God more than you do. Yes, yet they are not at the place where you are. It is grace. Say grace. Say grace. Grace is coming for someone this morning in the name of Jesus. See, that is why you seek for help from above, not help from man. Hallelujah. You will access help in Jesus' name. Today, as you come in contact with grace, and as grace come upon you, and grace comes with you, just like Paul says, say the grace of God that is with me, not upon me alone, that is with me, you will access help in every areas of life in the name of Jesus. Number two, benefit of grace is distinction. 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 Distinction can be called tag excellence. Hallelujah. Distinguishment. Grace distinguishes you. Paul, the apostle, was the last to become an apostle. Yet, grace made him to be number one. It's not about position of your position in the family. You might be the last born, but yet when grace finds you out, grace will make you to be the first born. You know, it's not about being the first or the last born. You know, you get to a point that when they want to take family decision, though you are the youngest, they say, let's wait for her. When she comes, we'll know what to do. And when you come, they ask you what to do and you give the right thing, pa, in all humility. And they say, yes, this girl is speaking wisdom. That's what we'll do. That is grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In your place of work, you are not the MD, but you are the one that direct the MD. Hallelujah. You know, there are some people they call the managing director, but there are some people, they are not managing director, but they are directing the managing director. Hallelujah. You know, these kind of people are people that carry unusual grace. And when the managing director says this, everybody say yes, and you come and say, sir, but I think we should do it like this. The man said, oh, yeah, really? Okay, we are changing it, and you issue another memo that will be in your favor. Such grace is coming upon someone in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Distinction. You are distinguished. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 9, it says, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not even meant to be called an apostle. Maybe you are not even meant to be called a wife, yet God is making you a good wife. Maybe you are not even meant to be called a graduate, but because of His grace, God is distinguishing you. You are not only a graduate, but you are a first-class graduate. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He was the least. He's not even meant to be called an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted the church. But see something. I love this verse 10. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I. Even my labor is not me. It's not by my work. Even though I labor. But the grace of God which was with me. Hallelujah. The grace empowered him to labor. Yet it is not the labor, but it is the grace of God. I speak to several people here this morning. I don't know if you are among those several. The grace of God will supersede your labor. In the name of Jesus. I said the grace of God will supersede your labor. In the name of Jesus. You will be distinguished. The spirit of excellence and distinction is coming upon someone by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Jam your hands together for the Lord. If you desire to be distinguished in life, you need the grace of God. I tell you, you need the grace of God. I want to thank God for the life of our senior pastor. He's a man of an unusual grace. Hallelujah. If you are clapping your hands, you can do better. A man of an unusual grace, exceeding grace. Many of us don't know. Sometimes, for those of us that are close to him, by reason of privilege, it's just a privilege. Hallelujah. It's a privilege. Sometimes he does some things, and I ask myself, how is this person, how is this man able to do this? Because sometimes when I attempt the same thing, I discover that khaki no be leather. There are different things. Hallelujah. Yet it's effortless. It's grace. Effortless. Effortless. It's grace. And it is not only that it is effortless, it is with distinction. It's grace. Hallelujah. You know, grace takes you from the place of labor to the place of ease. That grace is coming upon someone in the name of Jesus. Number three, benefit. Number one is what? Hair from above. Number two is what? Distinction. And number three is supernatural lifting. Hallelujah. Supernatural lifting. Supernatural lifting. The grace of God always bats the lifting of man. The truth is that a man cannot gain height except by grace. You cannot gain height in life except by grace. And there are always heights to move into. When you get to a stage, you have to move to another height in life. When you get to an height, you have to move to another height in life. In business, in career, in relationship, there are always heights to move into. It is grace that pushes you into those heights. Hallelujah. You see, the height to greatness is via the ladder of grace. The ladder that you climb for you to assess the height of greatness is the ladder of grace. I will put it this way. How many of us know what is called lift, elevator? Hallelujah. You know, when somebody is climbing a 25-story building and the person is using staircase, is running through the stairs, is running through the stairs, and I decide to, that person is climbing stairs, me, I choose to use the elevator. And I enter into the elevator. Somebody is entering with me. Then you press the button and you are going to the 21st floor. The person is also going to the 21st floor. The person have started while you are still gisting. I was still gisting with Pastor Kenny. The person is already on the 5th floor running. Then I press, pam, pam, pam. Before he gets to the 10th floor, I'm already in the 21st floor. And I'm coming out fresh and looking nice. And he's getting to the 21st floor. There is nobody that will run 21 staircase that will not pant. Hallelujah. And you will not sweat. You will not sweat in life. Because grace will elevate you. You see, the elevator is like grace. No matter your weight, as long as you are inside the elevator, the thing is taking you. You will even feel it. At a point, you know the beautiful thing about it. At a point, you become weightless. When the thing gets to a point, when it's moving, you feel weightless. You know why? Because you are going against gravity, yet gravity is not pulling you down. That is what grace does. You go higher, you are lifted, yet nothing is pushing you down. It's as if there is no gravity, yet you are going higher. I pray for someone this morning, grace is going to lift you supernatural. In the name of Jesus, supernaturally you are being lifted. In business, you are being lifted. Via the grace of God upon your life, you are going higher. In the name of Jesus. You see, Joseph was lifted by grace. Was lifted by grace. In Genesis 39:4, the Bible says, and Joseph found grace in his sight. He found grace in his sight. And he served him. And he made him an overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. All that, including his resources, investment, everything, were in the hand of his slave. What distinguished him? Is it that Potiphar did not have a son? No. Though the Bible didn't talk about it, but I believe he has children. Hallelujah. Yet, he left his children and he gave somebody everything that he has. The person was not even a servant. The person is a slave. That is grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter who has looked down on you. It doesn't matter where others have run. They've run ahead. But grace will elevate you. In the name of Jesus. Grace will lift you to an enviable level in the name of Jesus. Grace lifted him from the prison to the palace. Grace. Grace. There's a song, grace, grace. God's grace. Grace. Sweeping. Grace, grace. God's grace, greater. Grace that is greater than all. Grace is greater. Hallelujah. It is this same grace that elevated Esther. Esther was just an orphan. The Bible says in the book of Esther chapter 2 verse 17, and the king loved Esther above all the women. There are plenty young virgins in Shushan, in Persia that time. But the king loved, the Bible said, it was so categorical. They said, but the king loved Esther. That means that the king loved some other women also. But among all these other, she was the most preferred. You will be the most preferred. There may be plenty workers where you work. You will be the most preferred. She was loved, wife. And the Bible says, and she obtained grace. And she did what? Obtain grace and favor in sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. I pray for someone here desiring to be settled maritally. This morning, grace will find you out and connect you to the right person in the name of Jesus. Can I tell you this? It is not about makeover or makeup or whatever. It is not about all that. They are good. They are nice. They are nice things. I'm not against it. But it's about grace. It's about grace. You know, recently myself and my wife were driving close to our place and we saw a woman climbing a bike. I know the woman, I know the husband. And I looked at my wife and said, this is wonderful. I said it again, and she looked at me and she said, Pastor Kilode, I said, the husband of this woman is just too beautiful more than the woman. When you put the woman and you put the husband, for me to use the word as a man, to use the word beautiful or handsome for another man, you will know what I'm saying. It's like here to Kano by road. I'm telling you. Yet this man cares for this woman like nothing. As in, when you see the two of them, you will know that he won't talk three times without mentioning that woman. And when you put them side by side, you start wondering, is this your husband? Praise the Lord. Grace beautifies. If you ask him, he will tell you that's the most beautiful woman in the world. It's grace. She has been engraced. You will be engraced for the right thing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, grace can lift a cleaner to become a managing director. I've heard a story many, many years ago of a man, the company where I did my, I won't mention the name of the company, where I did my IT many, more than 20 years ago. As at that time, the factory manager for that particular company started joining the company as a casual. He joined the company as And I'm talking of a multinational company, one of the biggest companies in the world. He joined as a casual. In fact, he joined as a truck boy. Truck boy. Not even casuals in the factory. You know truck boy? You know people they call truck boy. You don't know truck boy? Those that used to follow truck. He joined as a truck boy. And he rose by the level of grace. And it's not that he acquired PhD. No, just some level of education. And he rose to become MD. I'm telling you. Became the factory, that particular factory, that particular location. He became the oga patapata, the factory manager for that particular unit. I pray for someone this morning. Grace will take you from low level to the very top and topmost top. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How to assess exceeding grace? How do we assess exceeding grace? We'll be looking at major ways to assess God's grace. We'll be looking at major ways to assess God's grace. And one of the major ways to assess God's grace is through kingdom stewardship. Kingdom stewardship. Kingdom stewardship. Kingdom stewardship. You see, what comes to the mind of many of us when we hear kingdom stewardship is, oh, pastor, no. Hallelujah. Even though that's part of it, but that's not the main thing. That's not the only thing. Hallelujah. Kingdom stewardship can be defined as engaging in activities geared at enlargement and advancement of God's kingdom. Engaging in activities geared at enlargement and advancement of God's kingdom. The book of Job, chapter 36, verse 11. The Bible says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Hallelujah. Engaging in activities geared at, that is, activity that is focused at the enlargement and the advancement of God's kingdom. Number two, kingdom stewardship is serving God and the interests of his kingdom. Serving God at the interest of his kingdom. And this is not with mouth talk. A lot of people say, I'm a worker in church. I'm serving in church. But it's with mouth talk. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23 says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tended only to penury. It's not just mere talk. It's not just what? Mere talk. It is not just grammar. But a demonstration of your commitment to the growth and expansion and enlargement of the kingdom of God. You see, kingdom stewardship is a sure way to assessing blessings, favor, and reward. You know why? Because the grace of God is always bestowed upon those that are engaged in kingdom stewardship. The grace is always bestowed. It's one sure way. Just like we all know, now as of today in Nigeria, you can't gain admission into any university, even if it is private. Even if your father is the owner of the university or your father is the VC, you cannot gain admission into that university if you don't pass through JAMB, through of us. It's either you do JAMB direct entry or you do JAMB UTME. Anyhow, you will still have to go through JAMB. Praise the Lord. As of today. Before it wasn't like that. There are some things that happened. But now it has been regularized. You have to go through a particular means. It's the same way. Assessing God's grace. One of the surest bankers is to serve God. Be involved in his kingdom service. Be engaged in the kingdom stewardship. Not with mouth. Not as men pleasers. Not as someone. You see, some people are serving God because they want contract. Not because you want contract from church. Not because you are looking for a wife or you are looking for a husband. Not because you want to be recognized. It's not about recognition. It's about responsibility. How much involved are you in the kingdom of God determines how much grace that is made available to you. What makes a person serve God and his kingdom? Number one. What makes a person to serve God and his kingdom? Number one is the love for God. Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. It takes the love of God. It takes the love of God for you to enlist in his service. Number two, or B, is understanding. I'm going to dwell a little about this. Understanding that serving God pays and that your labor can never be in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There is no labor in the Lord that is in vain. No labor. You can do some labor that will be in vain in the secular. But when it comes into the kingdom, there is no labor that is in vain. There is no labor, I repeat, that is in vain. There is no labor, there is no service to God that is in vain. You see, serving God pays the most. It pays the most. There is no endeavors that pay as much as serving God. I can tell you this because I'm a benefactor of this. I can tell you. There is no service that pays as much as serving God. It pays so much. And can I tell you this? Every other service hangs here on earth. Service to God is trans this earth. I don't know the English to use. It's beyond this earth. It's transgenerational. It's not earthly bound. It's beyond here. Praise the Lord. As you are serving God, you are serving man, you are making impact in your generation. You are touching lives. People are being saved. You are imparting somebody's life. And you are doing things that bring glory to God. It is not in vain. You are in the choir, you are singing, and because of your singing, somebody is being blessed. It's not in vain. You are in the sanctuary keeper, you are cleaning. Somebody is enjoying the atmosphere because the place is clean. It's not in vain. You are in the children's church, taking care of the little ones, and sometimes some of them can be funny. Sometimes they can poo-poo and you need to clean it up. Sometimes they can do things that are so irritating, and yet you are still doing it because you love God. It's not in vain. You are in the logistics, you are driving the bus, and sometimes the bus decides to drive you and you still say, no, I will keep driving. It's not in vain. You are in the engineering and sometimes plier pin your hand and blood is coming out and you say, it is not in vain. You are still in the will of God. Can I tell you this? Every other thing we do outside the kingdom is building castle for Pharaoh. It's building castle for Pharaoh. The only thing that goes beyond the grave on earth is what you have done to serve God. Every other thing hangs with the grave. Your certificate will not go with you. It's good to have certificates and have them as much as you wish. But I tell you, it won't go with you. It will not. It will not go with you. Serving God, it pays. It pays a lot. And can I say this? If you are young, you are here, or you are watching us online, or you are listening to me online, I want you to know, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Because the time is coming when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Why? Because the strength and the energy. You don't start serving God when you are 75. Then you say, I want to start serving God. There are some things a 25-year-old man will do that a 75-year-old man cannot do, no matter how fit he is. He can't do it. Because age is already catching up. Praise the Lord. So I want to encourage us this morning It's not until you start holding mic the way I'm holding mic now and you are preaching from the pulpit that you say, oh, I'm in kingdom stewardship. No, don't make that mistake. The little you can do where you are now, do it. Are you in the sanctuary? Do it. Are you in follow-up? Follow-up properly. Are you in the prayer department? People don't even know that you are praying. You are waking up 2 a.m. to pray and intercede for the church. Please, you are waking 2 a.m. Who knows that you are waking 2 a.m. to pray? But God knows. He's awake. And he's going to reward. He said nothing is in vain. It's never in vain. Number C of what makes a person to serve God and his kingdom is zeal and passion for his kingdom. Zeal and passion for his kingdom. Zeal and passion for his kingdom. I'm going to rush now because my time is far spent already. Number D is hunger to make impact in God's kingdom. Hunger. You see, don't be in this kingdom and you are not making any impact. Don't be here and you are not making impact. You are only making noise. No, make impact. Make impact. Number E is willingness to identify with Jesus publicly. Willingness to identify with Jesus publicly. You see, many times many of us don't want people to know where we belong. We don't want people to know which side we belong. Hallelujah. We don't want people to know that we belong to this particular side. Praise the Lord. You know, in football, the winning team fan, we always want to identify with Jesus. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Hallelujah. Psalm 119 verse 46 says, I will speak of thy testimony before kings, and I will not be ashamed. I will speak of thy testimony. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Number F, willingness to obey God and to please him. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. Willingness to obey God and to please him. If you be willing and obedient, you shall hear the good of the land. Willingness to obey God and to please him. And kingdom stewardship can be classified into three. Kingdom stewardship can be classified into three. Number one is physical stewardship. You see, this is service in departments like choir, like drama, like steppers. Hallelujah. Do I have steppers in the house this morning? Hallelujah. You know, lately we don't use steppers stepping. They used to step at one corner. I don't want to talk more about it. And they create excitement. Get involved. Don't be a yesteryear. Don't be like a spare tire. How many of us know spare tire? Spare tire are not meant to be used all the time. You only use spare tire when you have a flat tire. When one of your tires go down, that's when you remember your spare tire. Don't be a spare tire worker. Don't be a spare tire. Be the main tire. Hallelujah. We have self-fellowship, prayer department, reflection, media, engineering, counseling, evangelism, different departments. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. That is the key. You are not slothful in business. You are fervent in the spirit, and you are serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Number two, kingdom stewardship. Categories of kingdom stewardship is financial stewardship. Financial stewardship. You see, this involves you being financially committed. You are committed. You are serving God with your finances. You are not holding back your tithe. You are not a defrauder of tithe. You are not a thief of tithe. Because when you don't pay your tithe, you are stealing from God. Hallelujah. In your offering, in giving to kingdom projects, prophet offering, first fruits. Hallelujah. Can we turn our Bible to Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 downward? Malachi chapter 3 from verse 8. Will a man rob God? He said, yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have ye robbed thee? He said, in tithe and in offering. In tithe ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this old nation. Verse 10. Bring ye all the tithe into my storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will not, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out blessings so much that your room will not even be able to contain it. In other words, the blessing will come so much that it will be for you and for everyone around you. Praise the Lord. And not only that, he will now safeguard that blessing. It says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Hallelujah. Financial stewardship. You see, every truly committed believer is expected to be a giver to God's kingdom. If you are a giver, it will show in your life. If you are a giver, it will show. Can I tell you this? The secret to giving is being Libra. Just be Libra. Hello? There is nothing people used to say that there is a gift of giving. For me, I don't know. I stand to be corrected. I don't believe there is a gift of giving. It's a choice. Giving is a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. I don't really believe there's a gift of giving. It's a choice. Because if it is a gift of giving, some people will still not give. Even though it's a gift, that they have the gift, they will still not give. So it's a choice. It's a choice. Giving is a choice. And you know, devil don't want people to give so that people will not be blessed. Can I tell you this? The farmer that refuses to give the seed can never harvest the fruit. Every farmer first has to give the seed. Either you are into animal husbandry or you are into crop planting or whatever, you must give. If you're, for example, if you are rearing chicken, you must first bring out money to buy the chicken. And you must invest in feeding them. You keep investing. Some of them, it takes 6 months before you start reaping little, little. And you keep investing. Now that the prices of the feed have gone so much high. Sometimes when you are investing, when you are giving, buying the feed. I don't want to go into that. Because sometimes your wife will ask you for money and you will change it for her. Why? Because the thing is peppering you as you are spending. And you are looking at the chicken and they don't care. They are just eating. But the time of reward will come. And when the time of harvest comes, and you know the beautiful thing is how you give to them, they will give back to you. I'm telling you. Is that you give to them, they will give back. If you give stingily, they will give back to you stingily. If you give sparingly, they will give back to you sparingly. Praise the Lord. Let's learn to give. It's part of our service to God. Giving is not an act. It is a service. But three, spiritual stewardship. This is the most important type of stewardship. This is the kind of stewardship that is spirit. This is the most important. And it is important because it touches God directly. It is important for us to know that spiritual stewardship stands out as the most profitable of all the kingdom advancement endeavor. It's most profitable. But let me say this. If you are involved in spiritual stewardship alone, and you are not involved in the other two, that is physical and financial, there is going to be a limitation to your spiritual harvest. You will not harvest financial blessings. I'm telling you, every aspect of this stewardship is important. Number one, spiritual stewardship is prayer and fasting. This are activities that are aimed at moving God's work forward through spiritual exercise, through spiritual engagement, through spiritual involvement. It says, can this go out not except by what? By prayer and by fasting. So it takes prayer and fasting to get some things done in the spirit. Number two, is soul winning. See, these are activities that are aimed at promoting God's kingdom through evangelism and follow up. That is winning more souls to Christ. John chapter 15 verse 2, bringing more people to Christ. And this is so important because the Bible says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth that it may do what? It may bring much more fruit. Praise the Lord. So you must go out and win souls. And you see, why this is so important is because God is happy. God is what is happy. God is happy when you win souls. God is happy when you win souls. God is happy when you win souls. Praise the Lord. Soul winning is God's main business on earth. And that's why he sends Jesus. Jesus is not come for miracles. Jesus is not come for signs and wonders. Jesus came so as he can win souls. There are many people that have done miracles before Jesus. Jesus didn't come to come and perform miracles. Jesus came so that he can save you and I. He didn't come because of miracles. Those are byproducts of salvation. Those are things that are done to attract people to salvation. But the main purpose is salvation. And that is why you and I must be involved in evangelism. Don't be a sit back worker. Don't be a sit back steward in God's house. You know, sit back people. Those are people that rock on the chair and they just give direction. Hey, you. Oh yeah, go and get me this. Hey, you. Come, do this. Hey, you. No, don't do that. Get involved in soul winning. Get involved. This is the heart of the gospel. The heart of the gospel is soul winning. John chapter 3 verse 16. The heart of the gospel is what? Is soul winning. The heart of the gospel is soul winning. This scripture we all quoted, this is the heart of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That what? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should what? Have everlasting life. Finish. That is the heart of the gospel. That is the heart of the gospel. And he said, will they believe if someone did not tell them? Until you tell them about the gospel, they can't believe. And that is what God has called you and I into. That is what he has called us into. And that is what releases the power. That is what releases us into the level of the grace that God has for us. I want you to know that the more we serve God and the interests of his kingdom, the more of God's grace that we increase in our life. Grace begins to increase. Grace begins to increase. And I tell you, this thing is very real. It's very, very real. It's so real. It's so, so real. Try it for 1 year. Be involved maximally. And you will see yourself enjoy an unusual grace. You will just enjoy some unusual grace. You will enjoy grace of sound health. You will enjoy grace of abundance. You will enjoy grace of peace of mind. You will enjoy grace of security in a country like ours where security is up and down. You enjoy grace of security. You enjoy grace of provision. You just discover that you will never lack. You will live and you start asking yourself, is it by my income, not by my income? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I pray for you today that as we touch, as the anointing touches every one of us, new grace to serve God will come upon your life in the name of Jesus. I said new grace to pray. New grace to win souls. New grace to follow up. New grace to give to God's kingdom and God's project is coming upon you in the name of Jesus. New grace to be active in the place of service is coming upon someone. But as a result of the anointing this morning in the name of Jesus. It's an anointed service. And I want you to know that as you are anointed this morning, grace is coming upon you. And the more you receive this grace, make sure you deploy the grace to the kingdom advancement, and the grace will increase more upon your life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want us to know that the desire of God is for our destiny to be uplifted. It's for every destiny to be uplifted. And your destiny shall be uplifted in the name of Jesus. As you walk in new level of grace, as you walk in new level of grace, your destiny will be uplifted in the name of Jesus. This morning, I want us to know that God loves you. And as we encounter this grace, please don't stay on that same level. Deploy it. Deploy it into kingdom service. Deploy it into kingdom service. And you see yourself enjoy greater level of grace in the name of Jesus. Second service is going to be hotter. Second service is going to be more powerful. Please, I want to encourage every one of us, if those watching us online, via all our various social media platforms, make sure you stay connected. If you're here in the church, in the auditorium this morning, I want to encourage you, please wait behind for second service, because God is going to bless you yet the more in the name of Jesus. If you're here this morning, you know in your heart of hearts that you...
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.